Presenting a proven way to build your endowment with a sustainable gift planning program, this is the Gift Planning Development Podcast, an ongoing forum designed to help you meet all of your gift planning goals.
Welcome to the Gift Planning Development Podcast. I'm your host today, Joe Tumalo, and I am really blessed and fortunate to have our guest today, Susan Holt. Susan, thank you for doing this with us.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And you have a lot of experience looking at your bio this morning, working for some really big organizations, really impressive ones, Case Western Reserve University, Vanderbilt, Weill Cornell Medical College. I mean, these are big organizations all over the country.
So actually, let me just pop in here real quick and correct you on that. It's Weill Cornell.
Weill, thank you.
So that was named for Sandy Weill, who at one point in his life was considered the king of Wall Street. Sandy was a fabulous individual to partner with.
Huh, I'll be darned. You had worked with him or her?
Yes, with him. So Sandy was the chairman of the board of Weill Cornell Medical College. That's Sandy Weill. And we were working together on a $1.3 billion campaign in New York City for that medical school.
Incredible.
My role was the chief development officer there. Mm.
So you have vast experience in a lot of different sectors, raising big dollars. You have your own company now, which is Vision Philanthropy Group. And your topic, what we're going to talk about today, it's for everybody. And like in my business on plan giving, on the plan giving side, I feel like sometimes I have two separate worlds that I work in and speak in. There's smaller organizations that really don't have a program who have a unique set of needs. And then there's larger, more established programs or organizations that have a program who have their own set of unique needs. But what we're going to talk about today applies to everybody. It's about the board. It's about making or developing a more philanthropic board. And I think you'll agree that whether it's a smaller organization or some of these large ones, everybody seems to struggle with, we don't get enough board participation. They're not a philanthropic board.
That's exactly right, Joe. I've had the good fortune of experiencing highly engaged boards and then those that have not found their way in being really active partners and participants. And it doesn't matter if you are at a very large institution, a highly sophisticated one, or a very small one, you can find examples of both types within each of these different size or complex organizations.
Yeah. So what would you say are some of the common complaints, other than our board's not philanthropic? What does that mean, right? That can encompass a lot of things, or maybe a common causes, I should say, of the fact that most organizations don't have a board that really gets fundraising and embraces it with enthusiasm.
You know, I think it goes back to the root. I think so much of what we deal with is generated from what are some of the fundamental activities that are going on or not going on. And what I hear from people and what I experienced, so I was in the quote, in the trenches as a development staff member and as a leader for 25 years before I started Vision Philanthropy Group. So I understand what it's like on both sides of the desk, if you will. And in both roles, as staff and as consultant, what I have felt and what I have heard is people say, my board's not engaged. You know, they come to board meetings, but then they go away and they forget about us. And they don't know how to work with us. They don't understand their roles. And as a result, not only may they not be really participants in giving, they're not partners in giving and philanthropy and in building the philanthropic culture. In some cases, they're wonderful, very passionate, mission-driven individuals, and still they don't quite understand what their role is and how they can be most helpful to organizations. So I think that's the complaint that I hear most frequently, and what I have also experienced. I think that, as I said earlier, the root of this frequently goes back to leadership. the root of just about everything that we do in life and in and certainly in philanthropy comes back to leadership. So what is the CEO of our organization or the president or executive director, the leader of the organization doing to help lay the groundwork for board engagement? And what is your board chair doing to help partner directly with the philanthropy officers and lead the to help lead the development enterprise? So I think those are the complaints or concerns that I hear and have experienced. And so frequently it comes back to leadership.
And so what are some steps that people can take? Obviously, if leadership doesn't want to change or doesn't get it, we can bang our head against the wall all day long. Yeah. Right.
Right.
And so any suggestions on, well, is it just a matter of accepting it and then, or maybe going to work somewhere else? Or if we have leadership that doesn't get it, but seems to be coachable, any suggestions on how to coach them through it?
Yeah, sure. You know, so what I have found is everybody's busy, right? And the world's not getting less busy. The world it just gets more busy and more complex every day. And we've got so much coming at us from so many different directions. We're attached to our computers. We're attached to our phones. You know, we can hardly sleep without them. And so I think we have to make things simple and accessible for our board members, for our leaders. So one of the things that I suggest is that we start out by really looking at what are people comfortable with and what are they not comfortable with. So, you know, what I find with the leaders of, I work with a lot of hospitals and some social service agencies as well. And what I find is that people are, they're so consumed with the demands of the job, let's say the CEO or the board chair. And that's where we have to start. So how can we make this as easy for them as possible to be partners with us in philanthropy and to really engage in various steps of our process of developing gifts? And so one of the places that I like to start is really a conversation, a private, quiet conversation that typically the chief development officer or the vice president would have with the CEO of the institution about what's their experience in fundraising. What are they comfortable with and what are they not comfortable with? And so that should be a very transparent conversation and a great place to start. You learn so much. So I recently sat down with the CEO of a hospital and the philanthropy staff, and we just had a conversation about their experiences in major gift fundraising, what they were comfortable with, where they had success, and what they were not comfortable with. And we learned so much about one another. And now we're starting to apply that to our board chair. But before we got to the board chair, we spent some time in exercises, not doing jumping jacks, but having a very specific conversation about topics around the hospital. So what did we value about the hospital? And it was interesting. So in this conversation with the CEO and the philanthropy staff, we were sort of netting out what she was comfortable with and what she valued around the philanthropy program, but also in talking about the hospital. So we talked about what personally set this institution apart. What were they giving back to the community that the community would not have otherwise? And so as a part of that, we were helping develop between the development staff and the hospital president, some of our talking points, our language, and then beginning to set that within the philanthropic discussion. How do you carry that language out then about what we are grateful for, what we value, what's special about this hospital in donor conversations? And so it was really interesting because this hospital president is new to philanthropy, and she hadn't really yet developed what I like to call signature language, something that she was really, really comfortable with. So that was the place that we started. And now she's helping with her board and with the board chair, who is also very new to this in terms of how they develop their language in talking about what they value, what is special about this hospital. So we started around the whole conversation of language, of value proposition, of gratitude. And in bringing some of those things out, we started to develop confidence and comfort around philanthropy because we were making it personal. We were making it personal about this institution. And now we're doing the same thing with the board. So it was really interesting. We had a little workshop before one of the recent meetings, and we just spent time talking about stories of their experience within the institution, stories at that hospital, stories that they'd heard from others, building their comfort and confidence around talking about the institution with some of their friends, with some of the donors that we want them to help us connect to. So that's one way that we've first gotten started with this particular institution.
So you're making stone soup.
Yeah.
You know that story, the stone soup story?
Tell me, Joe. I want to hear it.
Well, I was thinking of that, and then I was hesitating bringing it up because I don't know if I'm going to butcher the story or not. Our listeners can look at it online. Just Google stone soup. But the premise is I'll do my best. A group of travelers come onto this village. They're starving. They ran out of food, and they don't know what to do. And they go and they set up camp within this village of all these other villagers there. And one of the travelers brings out this big pot, and another one makes a fire. They have no food, but the leader of the travelers knows how to make something called stone soup. And he says, "We're going to make stone soup," and the travelers are saying, "What are you talking about? Just trust me. Build a fire, get a pot, fill it with water down at the stream, and then get me a big stone." So they do all this. They put the stone in the big pot. And it's a rock in water that's boiling. But then all of a sudden, the villagers start to look over and see what they're doing. And one comes over and says, "What are you doing?" And they say, "We're making soup." And they say, "Well, that doesn't look very appetizing. I may have a potato in my kitchen. Let me go get a potato."
Yeah.
So they get a potato, put it in, somebody else. And so now it starts to smell like something. And somebody else comes along and says, "Well, I think I have a carrot." So that person, that villager, drops a carrot. And then somebody else comes in and says, "Well, I think I have peas." And so the moral is that all these people are contributing to make something out of nothing. And they're doing it together as a group. And they want to help each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. Oh, my gosh. Can I use that in the future?
Well, I didn't write it. So I'm sure you'll do a better job than I did of telling it. But yeah, if you just Google stone soup story.
I love it. It's great. So we do a lot of stone soup building. That is exactly right. It's interesting. We have used this approach with a number of boards recently where the vice president or the executive director of the organization or of the development program has said, our board members are just not comfortable with. And then what we have found, and they don't know, excuse me, let me edit myself just a bit and say, and they don't really understand how they can be effective partners in a way that they're comfortable with the development program, because so many people say, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to go out and ask for money. That's the worst thing in the world." Well, you know, there is so much more about philanthropy than asking for money. When it comes right down to it, it's really not about the money. It's about the impact. It's about the impact that we're making. And we do that frequently through storytelling and through being willing to get out there and share ourselves. So one of the things that we found is that there just hasn't been an opportunity to sit down with the CEO and or with the board, and especially with the board chair, to talk about some of these experiences around the organization that help them with their storytelling, but then also in some of the very specific tactics and steps that where we as development officers really would benefit from, and thus the organization, with partnerships with some of our board members. The culture of the organization is another one that I would ask all of the development staff, as well as CEOs, that may be listening to this podcast, to sit back and take a look at what is our culture around philanthropy, and what are we doing to promote the culture of inviting, receiving, and stewarding our partners who are with us making impact and carrying forth our vision. So an examination there and a conversation with the CEO, with the chairman of the board, with the philanthropy staff is another great place to start and looking at our culture. But so let me go back and say, so one of the things that we found is that setting aside times to have a conversation with the board chair, with maybe the development committee, with the CEO, all together in terms of how they can enhance their philanthropic culture through partnerships that they are building together with specific roles and identifying what are their roles, who's going to do what, and what are the comfort levels, and what are some of the tools? What are some of the tools that the board members need in order to really be effective with us? You know, I find that most board members, occasionally we have some board members that are just sitting on boards. I mean, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. And really not contributing, and their heart's not there. But most want to do the right thing, but they don't have the tools, and they haven't been given the instructions on how to be helpful. And a lot of times that's happened because the board meetings provide no space for that. There's no room in the inn, as it were, for the philanthropy staff to inhabit that. So one of the places to start is looking at what, when people join the board, what's the expectation? Does your organization have expectations in terms of philanthropy, not just giving, but how they're going to partner or participate with the development staff? That's one place to start. Is there an orientation experience? One of the hospitals that I worked with had a wonderful orientation program. But you know, I think it's the only organization I participated with out of a number of them that really had board orientation, where I, as the chief development officer, was invited to talk about philanthropy, talk about how board members could partner and participate with us, not just in giving, but in specific roles that they played. So the orientation is another place to take a look at. The other thing that I find, Joe, is that frequently the philanthropic agenda, the impact that philanthropy is making on the organization, is nowhere included in the board agenda. So that's another step. Does your board meeting have space on there, not just for presenting about these are the numbers raised? I mean, frequently, yeah, you know, they're talking about, oh, we've raised $2 million this year for this project or that project, and here's where we are in the campaign. But are you describing impact? Are the people who are benefiting from those philanthropic dollars, are they a part of presenting to your board meeting? You know, at my church, we always have a minute for mission. Are we having a minute for mission, or maybe 2 minutes, better yet, for mission, where one of your clients that has benefited from your work is coming in and talking about the impact that it's had on their lives, on their families?
That's great. That's huge, right? I mean, it's so simple. It's just we forget.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many organizations don't do that.
I know.
Because they are so busy around the business of running the organization, which, yes, that is their first objective. But you don't run the organization just for the purpose of running the organization, right? We're making impact out there in the world. And what is that impact? And that's what motivates people. That's what elevates your philanthropic culture. It's what sends people home excited and ready to tell their stories to their spouses, to their partners, to their friends, to their family, to their community. And it gives them the fodder that they can be better storytellers about your philanthropy and the difference it's making in the world.
It's great. Really practical advice, Susan. Really helpful. What I see a lot, I obviously want to hear your opinion, is that most clients tell me we want to change the culture, but we have a board, let's say 25 board members, and the expectation was never set that they would help in the fundraising philanthropic area. And so as an example, we want to maybe start putting a minimum give or get. And I'd love to hear your opinion on give or, well, actually, let me stop there. What's your opinion on give or get types of policies?
Well, I think it's, you know, so we talk a lot about give or get policies on boards. I've been involved in so many of them over the course of the year of my career. I would not want to start or stop just with give or get. It's about a lot more than that. I think every board member, yes, needs to be giving. And I do think that should be a part of the board orientation and what's laid out in writing. The problem that I have sometimes with these give or get policies is that then they'll say, well, how much should people give? Mm. Well, I want them to make a meaningful gift. Well, what's meaningful? Well, meaningful is different to every person. And sometimes we have a lot of, you know, representational people on boards as well. So people who are bringing expertise, but maybe not deep pockets to a board. But and so there they may say, well, I'm going to go out and get. But it's not just about getting. It's about living this mission of the organization. So it goes back to, I think, yes, I think give or get policies need to be on a board, but it's board descriptions. But what is really important is the CEO of the organization that has a conversation and is comfortable. He or she needs to be coached. If they're not, they need to be giving. The CEO of the organization needs to be giving at a meaningful level as well. If they're not, they can't have that conversation with a board member. So it's not just policies, but it's conversations that the CEO and the board chair, they have to be able to talk the talk and walk the talk that they have with people who are joining the board. And it can be as simple as, I hope you will join me in supporting. So this is the CEO talking. Joe, I really believe in this organization, in the mission of our organization. I am so honored and thrilled that you are joining the board and the strategic planning committee of our board, because you bring special expertise in strategic planning. I have to tell you, though, at the same time, I hope you will join me in supporting our institution at a meaningful level and meeting with Susan, our chief development officer, to talk about the various roles that our board members play in helping to spread the word and supporting our institution. It's a unique and special and noble way in which you can support and serve this institution. So right there, okay, that's end of quotation marks. Right there, the CEO has laid out what he or she is doing, what the expectations are, and please, and introducing the chief development officer to say, now I'd like for you as a next step to sit down with Susan and talk about the various roles that our board members can play. So they're setting the expectation right at the very beginning. And then you have to look carefully at what the board chair is doing. Is the board chair leading, really leading in making sure that philanthropy, that he or she is talking about philanthropy, is and is not talking about philanthropy in a way that, what I recently heard at one organization, it doesn't hurt that much to write a check for this particular organization. Oh. Yeah. So we got to go back. We got to step back there and talk about all the great feelings that this board chair has in supporting this wonderful institution that's doing amazing work in the community, and then scripting her as she talks about the institution.
Susan, you're really good with the emotional side of this, and I think so much in life comes down to the psychology of it, or emotions. I have it's a little bit off tangent, but I think it's related. A good friend of mine is a personal trainer, and we talk all the time, and I keep saying to him, Bill, I know it's less calories in, burn more calories. We get it. You go on these shows in the morning, and they talk about, hey, don't have that candy bar, eat an apple, right? Of course we know that, but psychologically, there's something going on, whatever it is, that for me, it's reward. I feel like, you know what, I work hard, I deserve that candy bar. that candy bar. But my point is, it's a psychological part of this that we often don't address, that to your point, like you said so eloquently, it's not just about asking for money. I wrote down, and if I write my next book and I use that title, I'll send you the royalty check. It's not just about, giving, it's about living it. I love that, right?
Yeah. So,
but the psychological part of this, which is whether it's a misperception, as you're saying, of what being a philanthropic supporter on the board means, whether it is helping advance the mission through some type of introduction or helping in the fundraising process, you know, it's that the part that people don't like to talk about. Yeah, it's, if you don't have the right attitude, asking for money, if you say it that way, stinks, right? I mean, who wants to ask for money? But if I'm, my thing is, my mindset around it is, I'm presenting the opportunity for people who want to do more, who want to give more, right? I'm just presenting that opportunity. I'm not asking you for money, so to speak. So any other thoughts around the whole psychological, emotional component of all this?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One is what the development staff or philanthropy kit staff can be doing is really helping arm people with language that they can be very comfortable with. I spend a lot of time with my clients on that. Frequently they're in campaign, and so they need help with that kind of language. But so we talk about, and this is where CEOs need coaching also, about inviting people to participate with us by supporting an organization with a gift. So it's not giving money necessarily. That's what it ultimately comes down to. It's about treasure. It's about resources. But giving them some very specific language about inviting to join me in this organization, on this campaign, join me in helping to build this house, and join me in helping to make a new wing of a hospital a reality. So giving them some of the language that addresses some of those psychological components, inviting to participate, those are very, very helpful. I'd rather have the candy bar a lot of times than apple, although I've learned to really enjoy the apple. and so sometimes you have to help your board members and CEO learn that new language so that the Apple is actually so much more inviting and appealing to go to. And you have to practice with them. That's the other thing we do a lot of. Sit down and practice this language together. Sometimes that it can be very hard to find the time to do that. And that's one reason why it's very important for the development chief development officer and sometimes other philanthropy officers to be regularly on the calendar of the CEO so that you're practicing that kind of language. And then they become more comfortable. They start reaching for the apple instead of the candy bar because it's right there, it's accessible, it's easy, and it's comfortable for them. The other thing that I suggest you do, whether it's at a board meeting or maybe it's at a development committee meeting or a campaign committee meeting, start out that meeting by talking by the board chair leading a 5-minute conversation. What is 5 minutes out of a meeting, for heaven's sakes? Start on time. So oftentimes meetings don't start on time. So start on time to go ask a few people around the room, tell us about your experience with the school this week or the hospital. Invite people to share their experiences, their gratitude for what this organization has meant to them over the past week, month, quarter of the year. That can be so meaningful. And again, then that gets people into that psychological spot and it sets your meeting with purpose of mission and purpose of impact. And it starts giving people some of that language as well. Who wouldn't want to participate in sharing a story about a hospital that just cured a young child of a disease or saved a child's life or gave them the tools that they needed to be a successful teacher or lawyer or doctor?
Beautiful.
So, you know, those are just a few of the steps and approaches that I think can help to make philanthropy and conversations about philanthropy more accessible, more attainable, and not only that, fun. And helps people feel really good. You know, when we help people feel good and have gratitude in their lives every day, they want to participate with us. They want to be a part of what we're doing. So help people reach into their hearts and pull out their own gratitude, and they will help walk that line with us and walk the talk in a much more effective and I think grateful way.
Beautiful. So where can people get more of this good Susan Holt stuff? Or how can they get more of this great stuff?
So I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, but I travel all over the country and actually some of the world telling some of these stories. And they can reach me through Vision Philanthropy Group's website. We are www.visionphilanthropy.com, and I can be reached directly through Susan at visionphilanthropy.com.
Wonderful. Anything else? Do you have a book or anything to plug?
You know what? Isn't that, I'm so glad you asked.
Wasn't a setup.
I'm working on a book, actually, Joe. I don't have the book completed. I was just talking with one of my friends who is an author, a published author, the other day. Not in the business world, but in the novel world, about the plans for my book. In the meantime, I would really invite people to take a look at my blogs that are on the website because they contain a lot of the information that we've just talked about and I've shared with you. In addition to the ideas in the blogs, there are specific toolkits in the blogs that are intended for people to be able to use in their practice. and in their work. And those are going to become the basis for much of my book.
Wonderful. Well, when that comes out, come back on the podcast and we'll talk about the book and
help people. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being with us today, Susan.
Well, it's really been fun and it's a pleasure. I'm so glad that we've connected. And I love the stone soup. Yes.
We well, all getting to be lunchtime soon, but yes.
Yeah.
Low calorie, right? Low calorie.
It reminds me, I need to go out and find that apple. So we need to all build stone soup together.
Well said. All the best, Susan.
Thank you for listening to the Gift Planning Development Podcast. For more information on any of the topics you've heard about today, please go to giftplanningdevelopment.com.